I've been reading it and hearing a lot about how God can sustain us and keep us. That's so true in the valley. And there are certainly valleys we have in the Christian life. And there are certainly times where we need the experience of being known, that we are being held by God, where all kinds of pressures, hellish pressures come against us and our family and our work and whatever place we may find ourselves. There are times when we just feel hard-pressed, and we've got to know that God, he carries us. He takes us through the fire. He takes us through the flood. And that's wonderful. And it's real, and it's a deed of knowledge. But I believe in this hour, maybe we've ministered that word to you for a lot of years, and there's been a lot of encouragement in that area. But I believe that God wants us in this hour, the body of the church, to have an understanding, a true understanding, a true knowledge, which some people don't have yet, of actually what he has made us. And I'm speaking about our identity of who we are in him. Because God has ordained that if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian, that you be someone who stands out in your generation, that you be someone who stands out in the creation, that you be amongst your peers, amongst your community, amongst your workplace, that you be someone who is outstanding, who is different and distinct from those around you. And the scriptures actually say that all creation awaits the unveiling of that group of people. And I just want to just read a few scriptures that you might be familiar with. I want to focus this morning on the promises that God says his people will be. Starting in Isaiah chapter 8, God says, "Here am I," verse 18, "and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion." Father, even this morning as we come to your word, you have promised signs and wonders will follow the preaching of it. Father, I would ask this morning that you would make your people, awaken your people to the fact that you have made us to be a wonder to this world, a sign that leads people to your Son. Father, I ask that you even open our eyes this morning to parts of your word that we have not seen before. I pray that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So the Bible says that we, God's people, are for signs and wonders. So we, a sign and a wonder points to a different reality. A sign in a shopping mall points outside to something. You're in an artificial reality, but a sign points you to the exit, which is ultimate reality. And people in this world who don't know Jesus are living in a false reality. And you and I are meant to be signs and wonders that points them to the great reality, which is Christ and God. Amen? That's what you're meant to do. You are meant to be a sign. Your life is meant to be a sign and a wonder. Zechariah says, actually, if you go to Daniel, we'll go to Daniel first because it's on the way to Zechariah, chapter 11. This is an end time prophecy. In the midst of difficult times, God promises that in chapter 11, verse 32, that the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That means do not only be a wonder, but do wonders. Do great things, be strong. Like David was able to run against a troop, God has promised that his people will be not like normal people, but there'll be a strength in them that they'll be able to accomplish things that someone without God cannot accomplish, to do exploits. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23, it's another end time prophecy that says, "In the day before he returns, 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man," and you and I are Jews in Christ, "saying, let us go with him, for we have heard that God is with you." And that's a promise that comes in the context that speaks about a praying people, that passage, that these people that are praying for revival of the nations, God's presence will be so among them that people will hear that God is with them and come and grab them and say, I know God is actually with you. The living God, the God who made all things, works for you. Now help me to get to know him. And these are tremendous promises that God has for his people. But perhaps the greatest promise that I often contemplate on, and there's a few we're going to touch on today. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, God says, for people that have been filled with the Spirit of God, people that have been saved through the blood of Jesus and actually filled with the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit has revealed to them, verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So the Holy Spirit reveals to us things that eyes haven't seen or ears haven't heard. Wonderful things like exploits, that you're going to be a wonder and a sign, that God will do extraordinary things through you. There are things the Holy Spirit that eye hasn't seen, not nor ear heard, unheard of, unseen things that God has prepared his people to walk in the end times. God has prepared things for you, unheard of things, unseen things, extraordinary things, things where in your life where people will see that God, or hear that God is with you. God wants to give every Christian, God wants to make of every Christian and give you and have you experience a life that is not like everybody around. It's an extraordinary life. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to give you a life, but I came to give you life in abundance, where exploits will be done through you, where people look at you and you will be able to point them, your life will point them to the greater reality of God. That you yourself will be a sign and a wonder to people. They'll look at you and they'll come to God, the saving knowledge of Christ through you. God doesn't want to give you an ordinary life as a Christian. God wants to give you a life which is distinct. It's different. It's wonderful. It is abundant. It is flowing over. Doesn't mean it's easy, but there's such meaning and there is such life to your life that you stand out. A life full of richness, full of meaning, full of him. But you know, for every promise that God's made and the provision that he's made for that life, to come to the provision that God has made, we have to follow the path to the provision, or we have to go through the process to get to the provision. And to experience these things, no eye has seen this extraordinary thing, no ear has heard, the end time things God has promised for his path, this scripture tells us that these things have been prepared for a certain type of people. It's for people who love him. So the realm of an extraordinary life, the realm of signs and wonders, the realm of the extraordinary, the pathway into that realm is through love. God says those things are being reserved for lovers of God. It's the lovers of God which will do exploits. It's the lovers of God which will be enabled to do exploits. I want to tell you, the most powerful force in the world is God's love. The most powerful force in the world is God's love. And God wants to make you extraordinary through the force of his love in your life. God wants to make you victorious through the activation of his love working in your life. God wants to make you supernaturally strong, able to do exploits, overcome the enemy, get to places other people can't get to, Because the power of God's love has been activated in your life. Many people will say, but the victory is our faith. And if you go to 1 John chapter 5, 4, a lot of us know this scripture, faith is the victory. It says, for whoever is born of God, that whoever has been born again through believing in the blood of Jesus, that he died for your sin, that person overcomes the world. And then he tells us how that person overcomes the world. And he says, that person will have tests, that person will have challenges, but they'll be known as an overcomer because they have victory. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, the temptation of the world, the sin that's offered to you in the world, the sicknesses, all the things the enemy tries to put on you in the world, from the world. The spirit of the world will not get you. You will stay in the spirit of God. And that will happen. You'll be an overcomer and come into the destiny God has to you because, here it is, the victory who has overcome the world, our faith. He who is he who believes, who overcomes the world, he who believes. So faith is the victory. Faith is how we become a victorious people. And I love Hebrews chapter 11 because it speaks about the things that people did in the past through the power of faith working in their life. And it says, you know, by faith, I'm just speaking from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. Moses was able to forsake Egypt and turn away and be used by God. By walls, in verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down. They fell down supernaturally because faith was at work. People walked around. No wrecking ball knocked them down. They were real walls. And they fell down by the power of God's people believing his word. By faith, they fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab didn't perish when she received the spies. He goes on to say, what more do I say? For Gideon was able to come against an army of 100,000 with 300 by faith. Barak had an extraordinary victory by faith. Samson was able to slay hundreds of people on his own by faith. All these things came by faith. David became who he was by faith. Samuel, by faith. And through faith, these people subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. So it's by faith these things that Hebrews 11 mentions, they're all done because God's people believed his word and God's power was released into their situation so that walls fell down, lions' mouths were stopped. You know, a lion was going to eat Daniel, but his mouth was stopped because faith, which is substance, was at work. So faith was working in these people, and that faith, when faith is at work, when it's like a lightning rod in a storm, it connects us to the power of heaven. And that is our victory, when we believe the word of God. Impossibilities happen. Things that happen to other people don't happen to us. The power of God works for us. But I've watched this many, many times. With some people, I've seen faith doesn't work. Faith doesn't work. You know, you could have a defunctive faith. You could have what the Bible calls a dead faith. James calls it faith without works, faith that doesn't work. And you know why someone's faith doesn't work? Galatians 5 says this. It says this, if you go to Galatians 5, it speaks about verse 6. It says, for in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So without the love of God in your heart, and if you haven't been activated and understand and walk in the fact that God loves me, and that love flows to other people, if the love of God is not activated in your life, your faith cannot work. It's a mystery I've seen explained over and over again. I've seen many believers whose faith is defective. And the reason it is defective is because they haven't got the force of God's love in their life. But I tell you, if you understand and you walk in the love of God, if you understand how much God loves you, if you have a revelation of how much God loves you, if you have a revelation that his love can never ever be removed from your life, Jesus needed this. He had it at his baptism. He says, my beloved son. If we have a revelation of how deeply and how wide and how long God loves us, and he's demonstrated that through the cross, and we walk in that, and we live in that, and we rest in that, you, your life, your faith, your walk will never, ever, ever, ever fail. Because your faith will work. And that's why the Bible says, love never, ever, 1 Corinthians 13, it never, ever, ever fails. So if you're failing, if you know that you don't, you can't believe the promises of God, the reason is, you can't try hard. You just need to ask God to show you how much he loves you. You need a revelation of the love of God, the depths of his love. And walk in that love, and your faith will never, ever, ever fail. You know, we have all these wonderful, wonderful scriptures, wonderful promises. You know, many people can quote them, but they often quote them without the second part or a little bit out of context, like, how many people know that God works all things together for the good? I hear that quoted many times. But it says he works things, all things together for the good to those who love God and are called together to his purpose. I want to tell you, if you love God, if you are activated, if you've been activated by God's love, and you have the love of God working in your life, you will never ever fail. You will never, ever, no matter what the enemy throws at you, your faith will. I often look at Joseph. The enemy threw everything at him. Enemy threw everything at him and more. But he never failed. Everything the enemy threw at him. You know what happened to everything the enemy threw at him? God took it. And he got involved in the invisibles. And he worked it for his good. So that nothing stopped him. Everything the enemy tried. Everything the enemy tried to use against Joseph. God got involved and he used it and he organized it for his destiny and for his lifting. And at the exact right time, he was lifted. Because the love of God continued to work in his life. You know, I spoke about faith. But also, before, faith is our victory. Faith is how we overcome. And faith is how we get to where God's leading us. It all comes. We must be a people who believe the promises of God. We must be a people who stand on his word until, like Joshua, you stand on the word, you walk with the word until the Jerichos fall in front of you, until the lack, until the sicknesses fall in front of you by the virtue that you're holding onto the word of God. That's what faith is. But faith, it actually grows in soil of the human heart. The soil is actually called hope. And there are times where human hope, what I call normal hope, will fail because of the confrontation we face. There's a confrontation. There's something that comes up against us. Like I'm thinking of a lady in the scriptures. When God gave her a child, the child died, and she said, all is well. It is well. Human hope fails in those situations, but there is a hope, a supernatural hope in God that never fails. We're able to remain hopeful. We're able to remain full of hope, even in those confrontations. How? How do you get to that supernatural hope that you, even when things are going against you, when impossible things are happening, even crowding it around you, your world is collapsing, but there's something in the believer's heart that's not in an unbeliever's that you're actually expecting in the midst of that crisis, a supernatural intervention from heaven to turn everything around for you. That's where faith grows. But it grows out of having that hope. You don't love, you know how hope works? Love, hopes all things. Love not only works our faith, but when we walk in the love of God, it keeps hope alive as well. Love hopes all things. And if you walk in love, I want to tell you, you will never, ever, ever, ever fail with God. You'll never fail to be a manifestation of what God's ordained your life to be. You don't want to speak about exploits. God wants you to do exploits. Exploits are not just because you're a special type of person or you have gifts or this, that, and the other. God says that, the Word of God, Daniel says that God's people will be strong and do exploits. God's people, exploits are things that are supernatural. They're where the strength and the power of God works through your life. And God's power, miracles manifest through you. That's what exploits are. Where supernatural or a demonstration of God's power manifest in and around and through you. Now, I want us to just focus on something. Last week, this is the passage that I'm drawn to at the moment, that I've very rarely preached it because it's such a mountain. But if you go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, I want to just touch on this again. And this is last week I preached on the glory, the riches of his glory. And this passage, which is such a mountain, and a wonderful passage, probably the greatest passage in the New Testament, I believe, it's verse 14 to 21. And it's bookended by references to glory. All this stuff happens because of the riches of his glory. That's his manifest presence. That's why he says in the end, to him be glory in the church, because it's through his glory all this stuff happens. And there's a promise there that because of the glory, because of the manifest presence of God, verse 19, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. There's a promise to you that God wants to fill your life with the fullness of God. Now you gotta grapple with this, because the Bible says he's everywhere. He fills everywhere. If I go up to the heavens, he's there. The fullness of God. Now when we speak about the fullness of God, Colossians tells us that the fullness of God in chapter 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him, that's Jesus, the fullness should dwell. Chapter 2, verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of God bodily. It was in Jesus. And this Ephesians 3 tells us that God desires to put the same fullness, the fullness of God that was in Jesus, he puts in you. And he said, because of the fullness, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, to him who is able to be exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God says he fills you with the fullness, that the power of God may work in us. Isn't that such a wonderful promise? But I want to tell you, again, just like 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, these things we haven't heard of or seen are reserved for those who love him. And God is able to turn all things for good for those who love him. The fullness is again conditional. It's preceded. But that we be able to comprehend the previous verse with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness. So the love of God also is the pathway to the fullness. When we're activated, when we walk in the force of God's love, the fullness of his presence and his power is activated in my life. Through love, through the knowledge of the depth, the knowledge of how deeply I am loved, how God has loved us. When I have that knowledge, when I walk in God's love, that love manifests in his fullness being seen in and through me, and his power being flowing through me. But the key The key to the fullness, the key to the power is his love. The key is knowing and living in the love of God. Why is that? Because God is love. God is love. And if God's love is in me, then his fullness is in me. His fullness. God is love. And if God is in you, you're in God. And he is in you. And you see the connection all the time. When Jesus fed the 5,000 people, the disciples couldn't. They couldn't feed. They couldn't manifest the power of God. They couldn't. God couldn't work that miracle through them. No, he wanted to, because Jesus said, you feed them. You've learned from me. It's your time. You feed them. But they couldn't feed them. The power of God to turn the fish and loaves into provision for 5,000 couldn't manifest through them, because they said, send them away. But it says Jesus looked and he had compassion for them. And it was when the love of God was working in his life that the fullness and the power was manifest. God wants to give you revelation today of his love. And when you have revelation of his love, you will never, ever, ever, ever fail. When you have a manifestation of his love, when you have revelation, people will start to see the fullness of God in you. When you have revelation and walk in the love of God, the power of God is going to flow through you like never before. This is the end time promise for God's people, that we be purified, that we be principled, but not only that, that we be a powerful people, that the very fullness of Christ be seen in you. You know, I was going to talk about this because I believe it or not, I don't like talking about myself, but I do often, because it's the only illustration I can think of at the time. I wish I had a better one, but I've been in crusades in India many, many, many times, and Michelle will tell you this. The reason I'm called to India, these places in Pakistan, particularly that part of the world, is when I get, God touched my heart for the Indian people 12 years ago. No, it's 16 years ago now. It's 2000. So it's 16 years ago. God, and I knew he was calling me to minister in that part of the world. And the reason I knew that is because I can stand before many, many nations. But you put me before an Indian on the platform and a Pakistani, before I minister, I weep. There's something that comes upon me and my heart is broken for them. And I look at them and I see that you've got nothing. You have got nothing. You'll never have anything. But I am going to give you everything today. I am going to give you Christ in eternity. And this thing comes upon me, and I often preach through tears. And many, many times, I'm still who I am, but there's been many, many, many testimonies where people have come and said, people have had visions, and I saw today in the crusade, I saw Jesus on the platform. Many times I've had that testimony. Why is that? Because love leads to the fullness. Christ in you, the hope of glory through the love of God. Paul had these, we often look at Paul and we look at his faith and the victory, and he gave handkerchiefs and people were healed, and he spoke to a girl who had a demon, followed him and said, in the name of Jesus, out, came out instantly. Signs and wonders. You know, you couldn't kill Paul. If you're in Christ, the devil can't kill you. Some people say, oh, you've got to be careful because the devil, if you're in Christ, the devil can't kill you. Even if you do something foolish, the Bible says, though a fool, he will not go astray. The devil cannot kill you. Paul knew that. And no matter what happened, the power of God protected his life. God wants every Christian to be able to rest in that. Even when they stoned him with big stones and left him for dead and knew he was dead, God raised him back up again. Jews tried to kill him. They had strategies. They had ambushes to kill him. It was all organized, but they couldn't kill him. Because there's a power of God working for him and through him. It manifested through him, but it worked for him. It was all around him, the power of God. What was his key? His key was this. in Galatians, he writes beautiful things, but he says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It was the knowledge and the ability to live and dwell in the midst of the love of God that made the fullness, made the power flow out of Paul's lives, made the miracle happen. It was he was able to believe God easily because he knew how dearly God had loved him. I often wonder, Paul was always in the wrong place, you know. For a season in his life, you know, some people, they're always in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he didn't see Jesus. All the Pharisees saw Jesus when he was alive. Paul didn't see him till after he was dead and resurrected. So he was always in the wrong place at the wrong time until he had a revelation of God's love. Then he was always in the right place at the right time, because love is a victory. Love makes our faith work. It's a wonderful promise, this, what God has for us. That his power, he's promised that you'll be filled with all the fullness of God in this generation, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all we ask according or think according to the power that works in us. God's power could be in you Ezekiel saw God's power flowing through an end time people as a river, but could be in you as a pond. In other words, it doesn't work. Why? Because the love of God is defective. It's defective. There's no revelation of the love of God. So you have the power. It doesn't flow. The Spirit of God doesn't flow, because love brings us into that flow. It's so good what God's promised to his people at the end time. The last thing I want to talk about, what he's promised, is that he's promised that you also be a manifestation of divinity. Your actual life be a manifestation of God. As I said before, that people will see, they'll actually see God through you and in you. And that not only your words, but your very life, through your life, people will see Christ in you. And we hear about all that talk, but God wants that to be a reality, that people actually look at you. I've seen it in some people. I saw it today in Effiani when he sang. I saw the life of God in him, the beauty of Jesus in him. And you know, in Acts chapter 14, there are many other places here, Paul was ministering and he'd healed somebody by the power of God, but not only because of the miracle they saw it, but they cried out, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." In other words, they saw the manifestation of God through Paul and Stephen as well. When Stephen was being stoned, it says that as he was preaching in Acts 6 verse 15, his face became as the face of an angel. In other words, his face was not a normal face. It was touched from heaven. You know, how far a man goes in God, how far a person goes in God, it's not determined by what family he comes from. It's not determined by how much he knows of the Bible. It's not determined by how much faith he has. It's determined by how much he loves. How much of the love of God. And I see often people, they strive for breakthrough, struggle to believe, push, strive, but there is no striving in faith. the force of God's love. When God's love is working in our life, there's no striving, there's no effort. It's just easy to believe. That's what the love of God does in our life. You know, people saw Stephen when he was being stoned. They actually saw, they said his face is like the face of an angel. When they saw Paul, they said he's a god. The gods have come to, there's something different to this man. I see a manifestation of God through this man, through Stephen and through Paul. And how is that possible through Stephen? Because as he was being stoned in his death, he cried, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Same words that Jesus prayed on his cross, Stephen prayed when they were stoning him to death. It was that love that worked in his life because he had love, the love of God in him. He became a manifestation of divinity. He became a manifestation of God himself. And God, he has got so much for his people. He's got us, he wants us to be a people who people see, actually see Christ through you. He wants us to be a people who walk in the knowledge that we, there is a power flowing through us. There's a power from heaven that will actually activate when we lay hands on sick people, when we speak to demonic spirits and command them to go. There's a power that will work in our favor when we stand against fear, when we stand against spirits of rejected and speak to things, that the power of God will actually work for us, that will actually move mountains out of our way, that the power of God will actually be around our life protecting us, as Hannah testified today, for every Christian, that they will know the power of God in, upon, working through them, working for them. How does that happen? People that are able to believe God. When things come against you, lions roar against you, you're able to stop the mouths of lions, command those lions not to touch you, and know they won't touch you. Things that will touch other people, they won't come near you or your family or sicknesses or disease or whatever, lack, it won't come near you, and be able to speak that. And to know that the power of God backs up your words and you don't live like other people, but you're an exceptional, extraordinary people. You're a distinct people where God's favor and his goodness is working for you. Or people see it. They go and grab other people and say, "We want to go to where he goes because we see the presence and power of God working for him." How does it all happen? It happens because the force of love, God's love, is active in my life. That I love God. And because I love God and I know I'm loved of God, that love flows through me and I love people. And you know what's frightening about this? You say, it's very, very obvious what pastor's preaching today. But I tell you what, I was once, 5 years ago, for 3 months, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I'd seen God move and I'd known God was with me. And then suddenly I felt like God left me. And I didn't know what was wrong and I just kept ministering, but I just felt as though things had changed and I didn't know what was going on. Wasn't hearing from God. Didn't seem to be able to believe God like I did before and struggled with believing the Word of God. And for about 3 months, 4 months, I walked around and I was actually in a dilemma. And I thought, there's something wrong, but I couldn't put my finger on what was wrong. And someone in a prayer meeting prayed it out and the Holy Spirit said, "That's what's wrong." And they prayed out, I think it was Rhonda, that the Ephesians lost their first love. They still were working. They were still serving God. They were still going through all the motions, doing a lot of good things. But he said, "This I have against you, that you've lost that place where you're just in love with God. You're just in love with Jesus. That you've come out of that place where he's your everything." You know, ministry for me replaced that place. I ended up loving the church and the ministry more than loving God. God had to show me. But Solomon loved God. He started well. God was all over him, moving through him. But he didn't finish well because it says towards the end of his life, he loved God, but in the end he loved women. And things can get into the human heart. The human heart is, the Bible says, desperately wicked, where our the love which is reserved for God can be replaced by other things. But God wants to make us a distinct people. A people that are so filled with victory, so full of his manifest presence, so people see God through us, a people that have the fullness, a people that are powerful, a people whose faith is always able to bring victory. But how does that all happen? Through the power of God's love working in our life. And you know, there's two ways that we understand and we continue to stay in the midst of God's love. One is through the cross. We've always got this cross here because it tells us. We don't have to guess. It always tells us how deeply God loves us, because you've got to think, I've got children and I couldn't give a child for your sin. But God had one son, flawless son, and he gave his son, and he struck his son down, shed his blood for my sin. And I always know that I'm loved by God through that. But there's also the ongoing relational experience that we have that reveals deeper and deeper, deeper measures of God's love all the time, because God wants us to be growing and having greater revelation every day of how deep his love is. And that comes, it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, you being rooted and grounded in love, so you can comprehend with all the saints what is the width, depth, and height. How does that happen? It says that according to the riches of his glory. Through encounters in his presence that we're just reminded regularly, in reality, no matter how you fail, no matter how you disappoint yourself, that God's love is never removed from your life. And I just feel to pray. Let's just bow our heads. Let's just bow our heads. Bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You love us so deeply, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be new here, maybe never been connected to the love of God. It's real, and God wants you to experience that. He wants you to live in the love of God. If you've never, ever been connected to God's love, he wants you to know that he sent his son to die for your sin. And when you believe and receive, the work of Christ was done for you personally. The thing that blocks you from receiving God's love is removed. And God's love starts to flow. It will flow. The reality of God's love will flow to your life. If you want that love into your life, just raise your hand right now to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Get connected. Some people here need to get reconnected as well. Want to get reconnected. That you know that you've come out of that place, that closeness. God wants us to be in a love affair with him, where it's so real. That's more important. He's more important than your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, anybody. Because his love is different to human love. But God wants each of us to live in that place where we miss him when we don't spend time with him, because we love him. We don't love, can't love a theory, you can't love a doctrine, but his presence is so real. If you've come out of that place, just lift your hand to God and he's going to touch you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The word says that the love of God is different to, it's not an emotion. It's an action. We love Him through our obedience to Him. He loved us through an action. Where we continue to show Him we love Him is through obeying Him. But to know that love, to know that love, Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. If you need a fresh touch of God's love, as we sing this last song, if you want to be filled, if you want to be filled with the fullness of God through His love, if you want to be refilled today, I just want you to come forward. I'm not even going to lay hands on anyone. I just want you to come forward. Presence of God is here. Presence of God, God is going to fill you afresh. Fill you afresh. He's going to reignite that affair so that your walk with Him is not a walk of works. It's a love affair. There's something flowing in your heart. There's something moving through you every day, which is the most precious thing you know. It's the thing you live for. It's the love of God. Let's stand. If that's you, come forward. God is going to fill you. The Holy Spirit is going to shed the depths and the widths and the height. Even if the enemy would say to somebody here, the enemy is saying that you've done something that you disqualified from the love of God. That you've done something that God is withholding His love from you because of something that you've done. This is the Word of God says to you today. Word of God says to you today. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor depth nor height nor any created thing shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. People withhold love, but God never does. As soon as we repent of whatever we've done, as soon as we repent, we're reconnected to God and His love. God wants to make you extraordinary through His love. I want us to be a people that are known by the love of God in this house and in us. If that is the case, I want to tell you, if that is the case, God's love works through you, flows through you. If you live from God's love, everything else looks after itself. Everything flows, and you'll never ever fail to accomplish what God has for you. Because love never fails. Father, I thank You. We don't have to guess what love is. You are love, and You've demonstrated how deeply You love us by giving us Your prized possession. And at the peak of His powers, Lord, You struck Him down, that our sin could be washed clean, that You raised Him in victory to show us the power in love, that it never ever fails. You may be down, but if you love God, you're never out. You may be oppressed, but you always conquer. Paul said that he spoke about it, we are more than conquerors. That means you not only stand in the trial like he did, stand when you're in the midst of the demonic oppression, but you come out the other side plundering the goods of the enemy, being fruitful. I am more than conqueror through Him who loved me. That's God's will for you. It's God's plan for you. Praise Him. If you need a touch, come forward. God will fill you. Hallelujah.